south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, now, here's something you really should pay attention to. Remember a few weeks ago or a few shows ago, I was talking about how Craigslist has made it down here to Latin America, in a small way anyway. And of course, that's a very good way to find used items and sell things yourself. You know, bicycles, computer stuff, even advertise, for example, if you need a software guy to make you a website in Spanish, let's say. Of course, you could never advertise for a cleaning lady or a gardener because they're just not on the internet. However, do know that if you get on any Craigslist down here in Latin America, you're talking to people that are very well tuned to the internet. They're used to dealing with technology, and that means gringos and first world gringo wannabes. Of course, which leads to gringo prices, at least more than you'd pay if you found, let's say, a bicycle, a rental, or a piece of exercise equipment on one of those bulletin boards that I always talk about that you see in neighborhood Walmarts, other grocery stores, and malls, etc. And by the way, those bulletin boards are self-selecting. So, for example, if you go in a high-end neighborhood and there's a local Walmart, Costco, mall, or mom-and-pop grocery store, and they do have a bulletin board, almost everything you see on there, all that's advertised, will be nearby in that same neighborhood, within a square kilometer or two. Why? Because people shopping there in the neighborhood will pin stuff up on that board. And so will you if you got something to sell or you're offering a service. Who knows? You might be offering to tutor English, piano, self-defense, dog training, gun safety, reptile breeding, stock market trading, whatever. It's self-selecting because only the people in that upscale neighborhood are going to see your ad, and vice versa. So in picking the right neighborhood bulletin board, you're automatically eliminating the sweaty masses from the wrong side of the tracks, if you know what I mean. So like I said, the best deals are almost always found on those neighborhood bulletin boards. But remember, they'll almost always be in Spanish, too. And just a tip here, if you've got a product or service to sell yourself, put your ad in English and perfect Spanish. And most importantly, do make it a point to advertise that you are a gringo offering this service or selling something, whatever, and thus let your gringo advantage do the work for you. Like, for example, if you're selling a car, native Latins will always prefer to buy it from a gringo because they understand that gringos take care of their things, much better than Latins ever do anyway. The fact is, unlike Latins, gringos are actually known to do the occasional oil change. But you knew that already, right? Now, my next choice for the best deals are the ones you can find in low-end Latin newspaper classifieds. Notice I said low-end here because any big Latin city will have five or so daily newspapers. You'll have a couple of big, fat, highly circulated dailies for 50 cents or less, and you'll have other, much cheaper dailies, thinner sort of scandal sheets that have soap opera stars and bikini-clad girls every few pages, a lot of sports, and a heavy emphasis on entertainment fluff. Though very dumbed down and loaded with brain-dead fluff, the classifieds in these rags, which of course are all in Spanish, often are loaded with tremendous deals. Let's pick, for example, the country of El Salvador. It's got, I think, now about seven newspapers. The biggest one being El Diario de Hoy, which means the Daily Now, or Today's Paper. Boy, that says it all, huh? It's the biggest, most widely circulated El Salvador newspaper. Therefore, the ads are going to be a little more expensive than the other ones, like La Prensa Gráfica, El Mundo, Diario Colatino, El Gráfico, El País, and El Faro. The other, smaller, less circulated rags. Anyway, if you advertise or you're looking for ads in one of the smaller, thinner newspapers, you'll see the classified ads are about half the price or less than if you advertised in the big fat daily, El Diario de Hoy. So what does that mean to us gringos and expats? Well, suppose you're a Latin trying to sell a guitar or some exercise equipment, and you put it in the big, highly circulated, more expensive newspaper, Diario de Hoy, for maybe 3 or 4 days, and if it doesn't sell, you get kind of disappointed and you slip down to the Prensa Gráfica or El Mundo, which means the world, where it's less than half the price of that ad in the big paper. Meanwhile, if you don't get any calls then, you start getting desperate. Then you might pull the ad and wait a couple of weeks or even a month, then run it again in one of the cheaper newspapers. And finally, maybe even simultaneously, you put it on the local bulletin board at, you know, a Walmart or a Costco, whatever. And at that point, most of these folks will take pretty much what you offer because no one's biting. And how do I know? Well, it's easy to tell because you look at those bulletin boards and often someone will put, let's say, an apartment up for rent. And the ad will be a printout, a couple of photos, various views. And on the bottom of that page, there'll be maybe a row of 10 little slips with the phone contact number on them interested parties can pull off and take with them. You've seen those things in the States 100 times, I'm sure. Now, if you're checking out bulletin boards often like I do, you'll see a lot of times no one, even after some weeks, has pulled a single tab. For example, you might see a nice apartment for rent for $500 a month, and there's just no interest in it. That's when it's time for you to pull one of those tabs, call up the guy, look at the apartment, and if it's nice, make an offer. A very lowball offer. Now, if it was me looking to rent a place, I'd go over and see it, and if I liked it, I'd say how much you want for it. He'd say $500, and I'd say $3, and I'll give you 6 months in advance, and I'd bet you we'd come to some kind of arrangement. Remember, we're talking to kind of a desperate guy here because he's got a place that is vacant and he's making absolutely nothing on it. So whatever you offer him is better than nothing. And remember, you have to be willing to just walk away. But, you know, there's a little trick that expat Eddie showed me a long time ago, early on back when he was renting. He'd walk into a place, really lowball the guy, almost insult him with the offer. Then, as the guy turned him down, he would pull out a fat wad of cash that looked like maybe $5,000, when in fact it really wasn't. It was just a few hundreds wrapped over some fives or tens in a wad. And then he'd say to the guy, "It's just too bad we couldn't come to some kind of arrangement because I need to get a place today and I've got about 3 more stops to make." Now, if you ever want to see a Latin guy's jaw drop, you ought to pull that one sometime. And Eddie says, and I believe him because I've seen this in action, you've got about a 50-50 chance of the guy running after you as you go to your car, or you'll get a call within an hour or two saying, "Hey, come on back. I think we can work something out." Now, of course, that kind of negotiation almost always takes place in Spanish because, well, when you're off the Gringo tourist trail like I am, almost no one speaks English. Except, of course, professionals like doctors, lawyers, architects, and the spoiled kids of the stinking rich attending those helicopter schools. So then, what if your Spanish really does suck? That said, there's a little game you can play. You can go check out a place as a stupid gringo. Don't make any offer at all. Just play dumb. Play the clueless gringo. And if you need a refresher course on vacant brain syndrome, just watch a few minutes of the Kardashians. Anyway, play the dumb gringo, and if you really like the place, you contact your trusty lawyer and you explain the situation to him and you say, "Look, I like this place, but I know he's going to nail me with gringo prices. Could you go down and negotiate the deal for me?" And you tell him, "Look, here's what I want to offer and don't budge." And of course, your trusty Latin lawyer will do that, or he'll send one of his secretaries or legal assistants down to make the deal for you. And don't forget to give your lawyer that big wad of cash, even if it's just fives and tens in the middle, to evoke that always amusing cash in hand Latin jaw drop reflex. Because like I said, almost no one in Latin America ever pays 6 months or a year in advance in cash. But you knew that already, right? So then you might ask, what's your lawyer going to charge you to do that deal and draw up the contracts and all that? $50 to $100 maybe. And it's worth 10 times that, believe me. Now, I'll tell you, a lot of gringos and expats that come down who don't speak Spanish or have very little knowledge of Spanish, they'll resort to Craigslist for just about everything and anything because it's in English, or mostly in English, and yes, it exists down here in pretty much every Latin country. However, know that even in Latin American countries, it's almost always gringos or first world types that are searching Craigslist, so you're almost never going to get a real deal. Not to mention, although they have all the categories, it's very sparse and there are very few listings. And note, Latins who are on the local Craigslist are first world types who know a lot about the internet, and you're not going to get any deals out of them either. Talk about scant few listings. If, for example, you're looking up exercise equipment or pets, you might see 3 or 4 listings. That's it. Even in a city of 1 million or more. So you can check it out, but you probably won't be very happy with the results. Though I understand Mexico is one of the few Latin countries that does have a pretty extensive Craigslist, but then again, Mexico is sort of unofficially part of the U.S. now, isn't it? My advice? Forget about Craigslist. Instead, in almost all Latin countries now, there's a service that I mentioned a few shows ago called OLX.com. That's OLX. You could say it's the Latin American version of Craigslist on steroids. And believe me, Latins are piling into this thing like crazy. Even Latins who are too broke to have an internet connection are posting things on this site. In fact, there's almost nothing you can't find there. For example, I'm looking at the OLX.com site in Peru right now. Looking up rentals and housing, they've got over 10,000 listings. And in pets for sale, over 6,000 listings. All of them very recent, too. So here's what's been happening lately. This is worth repeating. People put their ads in the expensive newspaper, expensive by Latin standards, not ours. Then they put them in the cheaper Latin newspapers. Then they go to the bulletin boards. Then, by hook and crook, they end up at the OLX.com website. Why? Because it's free. And oddly enough, people are piling in who don't even have internet. Remember, only 15 to 20% of Latins have a permanent internet hookup at home. For the vast majority of Latins, a contract internet plan is too expensive. Now, it's true that almost everyone who's got a phone down here can have access to internet if they want. Nowadays, even the cheap $15 to $20 throwaway phones are what you might consider smart enough. So even the so-called poor, sweaty masses with their smart enough phones are tempted to get on the internet for a couple minutes a day. Text like crazy and do connect to ludicrous social media like Facebook, Twitter, and the most idiotically named service of all, WhatsApp, whatever that is. And now, middle-class Latins and even some poor Latins are becoming addicted to social media. Though, the truth is, they might only connect a few minutes a day because when a cheap prepaid phone connects to the internet, it runs through your prepaid dough faster than a chicken salad salmonella sandwich. Wow, try saying that three times after a couple of tequilas. The fact is, 80% or more of Latin Americans don't actually surf the net, but for a couple minutes a day. Though they're always being tempted by text messages to do so. As for me, as usual, I do not get on social media sites. In fact, if there was an anti-social media site, I probably would use it. Hey, how about it? Johnny's anti-social media site. See you there. Anyway, having a peek right now at the OLX.com site for Guatemala, I'm looking at real estate now, and it's all in Spanish. There's, get this, 51,000 postings. 51,000! Of course, only maybe 10% of those are worth looking at, but that gives you an idea the difference between OXL and the local Craigslist for Guatemala in English. Now, when I click on real estate for Craigslist, I get this, 40 listings. That's 40. So, obviously, the way to go is OXL.com in whatever Latin country you're in. And note, you'll find a lot of desperate sellers there, too. Oh, and by the way, I'm looking at the Craigslist here, and yes, those are gringo prices. So, you're not going to find any deals sitting on your sofa up in Cleveland searching Craigslist down here in Latin America. But it's a completely different story if you go on OLX.com. However, if you don't speak much Spanish, you'll be SOL. But there is a bright side if your Spanish sucks. Because gringos and expats have told me if they go on OLX.com and spend some time searching through the categories, that in itself is a very good way to learn practical Spanish. You'll expand your vocabulary and the methods of wheeling and dealing down here. Oh, and by the way, whatever Latin country you happen to be in, if you put in OLX.com, it automatically comes up to that site within your country. Which logically brings me to the next topic. Why should anyone bring a container down and pay heavy insurance, shipping, and taxes when you can buy 95% or more of everything you might need down here, retail, or you can pick it up on a site like OLX.com? And the rest, the odd stuff you can't get down here, like special vitamins or supplements, there's always Amazon, eBay, and more. So again, based on my own experiences and experience of other expats trying to ship things down, no matter where it is in Latin America, I always recommend to sell all your junk up there and bring down boxes and suitcases yourself as you fly in, even if you have to do it a couple of times. And really, the only way it's worthwhile to ship in a container or a car is if you come in under pensionado status. That's residency, as you probably know by now, in Latin countries where you prove that you've got a retirement income coming in, a monthly income coming from the outside. And that's usually set, depending on the country, at a very minimum of $800 a month to maybe $2,500 a month, which I believe now is the rate for being a pensionado in Costa Rica. Now, nearly all pensionado residency programs allow you to bring in a car every 5 years with no taxes and one container full of furniture and household items in the first year. So you'll have to pay the shipping and insurance on a container, and generally people bring in 40-foot containers. There are 20-footers too, but if you're going to bring one down and you get it tax-free, I recommend a 40-footer. Shipping a bigger one like that is only about 20% more. Nope, it's not double, just 20% more. Now, you could easily fill the contents of a 1,600 to 2,000 square foot house in a 40-foot container, unless you're a pack rat. Yep, when I first came down, I filled a container myself. It was a 2,000 square foot house, and at that time, I had a lot of junk. But still, there was room to spare. Now, depending on which Latin American country you plan on setting up housekeeping, the shipping and insurance on a 40-foot container could run anywhere from around $2,000 to maybe $3,500. Now, if you're on a pensionado program, that's a very good deal. Then you don't pay import taxes, which, if you weren't exempt, could run anywhere from $3,000 to $7,000 or $8,000. That's just the taxes. Again, depending on the Latin country you're going to locate to. So again, it's only worthwhile to ship a car or a container down if you're in the pensionado program, because then you can bring them in tax-free. That's one car, I think, every 5 years, and one container once in your life. Otherwise, forget about it and sell your stuff and buy it down here. Oh, and by the way, since we're on the subject of the pensionado programs, I'd like to repeat this one more time. Most Latin American countries have a pensionado program, but let me correct a statement I made in a past show when I said if you're in the pensionado program, unlike a regular permanent residency program, it will not lead to citizenship and then a passport. Well, after checking out more details on that, I found that it's true for most Latin countries. However, I've discovered that there are two out of those 20 Latin countries where you can get a pensionado status, and yes, it will lead to a passport in 5 or so years. And those two countries, Guatemala and Ecuador. Now, a lot of people have asked me about Panama, because it's easy to get a rentista or pensionado residency visa, but note, in that case, it does not lead to a passport. Now, all you listeners must know that in the future, a second or third passport will be all important if you're a U.S. citizen. Because, you know, the U.S. is bankrupt, and as the tax base dries up, due mostly to unemployment and people voting with their feet. What's the true figure at now? 100 million people unemployed? Anyway, make no mistake about it, there will be efforts by the U.S. and the IRS to seek out and tax all that dough that left the country that's now out of Uncle Sam's greedy reach. Because remember, there are over 10 million U.S. citizens living abroad now. Ever increasing year over year, and U.S. officials are very worried about that. People are escaping, voting with their feet. And one way Uncle Sam will be trying to haul in all that cash and capital that's overseas, all that dough that's out of reach now, is to block your passport and bring you back to the States. And if your passport's blocked, you'll be technically illegal in the Latin country that you're in. Some of you expats can look forward to that. Now, if you have a second or third passport, it really doesn't matter if they block your U.S. passport, does it? But if you only have one passport, your U.S. passport, and they block it, as soon as you go to an airport and try to take a flight somewhere, you'll probably be deported back to the U.S. And maybe I'll go more into that in another show, but enough said about that for now. Now, I mentioned Guatemala and Ecuador as two Latin countries where you can get that pensionado status and have the benefit of getting a car and a container in duty-free, as well as some other perks. And unlike other Latin countries, you can still, after 5 years, get your citizenship and a passport. Now, speaking of Ecuador, here's a little fact that startled me. Now, you might know I do private phone consultations. You just go to expatwisdom.com, click on the telephone consult, and you can have a half hour, an hour with me. That's a way to talk about your personal situation instead of generalities like on this show. Anyway, now this came as a surprise to me, and it probably will shock you too, but Guess what? Fully 8 out of the last 10 phone consults I've done over the past few weeks, that's 4 out of 5, came from expat gonna-bes and wannabes whose plan is to move permanently to, guess where? Ecuador. And by the way, most of all are moving in or around Cuenca. Now, I admit, I'd be the last one to dissuade you from that idea. I like Ecuador, but I absolutely don't like what I'm seeing for the future. Problem is, you see, international living has really put Ecuador on the map, which means the usual flood of gringos and gringo prices on the way. Sure, you'll have a nice couple of happy, inexpensive years, but when international living and AARP and Yahoo Travel News, to name just a few, put Ecuador on their top 5 list for retirement havens, that just means gringos, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried, and Starbucks are on the way. Bringing with them, of course, a nice, big, ever-expanding real estate bubble, too. Which is good if you're going to be a renter, because that's a fantastic situation for a renter's market. A vast oversupply of vacant places for sale with not enough people to buy them. And the time to buy, of course, is if you spot a desperate seller, and there's going to be a lot of those coming up, of course. Just like at the end of any real estate bubble. But that's not all. There's another big problem happening in Ecuador right now. Since they depend mostly on oil exports, the price of a barrel of oil has dropped about 50% in the last year, as you know. Tax revenues are way down, so the government has slapped a huge tax on imports. Now, from what I understand, and I talked to a couple of expats who've been to Ecuador lately, if you bring in a container or have some boxes shipped or order off of Amazon, you'll be hit with a 45 to 75% import tax immediately, which has pretty much killed the once flourishing Amazon ordering trade in Ecuador. Oh, and speaking of ordering from Amazon or eBay in a general sense, yep, they'll all ship directly down here to Latin America, but it's always better, like I said in a past show, to have them shipped to a Miami forwarding service, and you'll pay as little as $3 to $5 a pound. Now, you could have Amazon shipped directly, but it'll always cost more because they'll be shipping it by FedEx or DHL or another courier service, and you could easily pay triple, meaning about $15 a pound. Anyway, I understand in Ecuador now, Amazon's gotten hammered by that huge increase in import taxes. And by the way, throughout Latin America, it's just gringos and upscale Latins that use services like Amazon. Now, to the other 95% of Latin Americans, Amazon reminds them of the 3 P's. That's pythons, piranhas, and poisonous darts. So anyway, with that new Ecuadorian 45 to 75% import tax, there's a type of gray market. Gringos living down in Ecuador are hooking up with gringos through the internet up in the States who soon are traveling down to Ecuador. They're making deals with those stateside gringos to bring some items down with them so the people in Ecuador don't have to have them shipped down and pay that high tax. Because, you see, if you're flying into Ecuador, no one cares or taxes you on what you carry in. They only hit you with that high tax when you ship things directly. In fact, I just spoke to a gringo up in California this week on one of those consult calls. He did just that. He brought down 2 suitcases full of stuff for people he didn't even know. The upside of that for him was, when he got down to Ecuador, he met up with a lot of diverse gringos living down there and found out a lot of good info. He said he carried down and delivered small items for over 50 different people. So anyway, that's what you can look forward to if you move to Ecuador. Now remember, with a recent huge import tax increase like that, obviously that means that eventually all import articles that hit the shelves, electronics and stuff from China, Indonesia, whatever, will eventually reflect that price increase. So soon enough, you can expect gringo prices on probably everything but food. However, if you've got a nice retirement nest egg or maybe a pension of 30 grand or more a year, you'll do fine in Ecuador. The advent of creeping gringo prices shouldn't bother you that much. And now, of course, you can live a very first world style life on a simple social security check down there. Don't expect that to last too much longer. So thank you, AARP and International Living, for setting the stage for that. Okay, so let's take inventory here. International Living has helped gringoize Costa Rica, Panama, Belize. It's in the process of doing it to Nicaragua, Ecuador, Colombia, and Chile. Now, let me think. Did I leave anything out? Oh, yeah. I forgot. The first domino to fall was Mexico. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not picking on International Living. They provide a really nice service and have a lot of great articles. It's just that with a couple of million subscribers, when they put out their top retirement picks, well, just know that you certainly did not get in on the ground floor. I mean, let's face it. When you're in New York, Chicago, or Cleveland, and the taxi driver tells you how he's going to retire in a year or so, and he's going to move down to Nicaragua or Ecuador, you can forget about that fantasy of the untouched paradise. Okay, now a couple of words about Doug Casey's favorite place, Argentina. Did you know that these days, Argentina's inflation rate is 40 times higher than the average inflation rate throughout the rest of the world? Now, official government reports are saying that for 2014, it was only 30% that year, but real-world non-governmental economists are saying it's more like 50%. Now, think about this. When you go to Argentina, the biggest bill you can get is the 100 peso note, which is worth only, get this, 7 U.S. dollars. Now, that means, for example, if you go to Walmart and buy a big screen TV for, let's say, 400 bucks. Wait a minute, you can't really get a big screen TV for 400 bucks in Argentina. Let's say 800 bucks. That's more like it. Prices are about double for electronics and other imports as compared to prices in the States and many other Latin countries for that matter. So anyway, if you're going to pay cash for an $800 TV, you know what that means? You'll have to carry 114 of those 100 peso notes. Because remember, like I said, that's the biggest denomination they have. Now, according to official government sources, they're not going to make any larger bills because then the government would be throwing in the towel and admitting that they were on the edge of hyperinflation. That's what happens to countries with massive inflation. The first thing they do, like Zimbabwe, is to create larger and larger denominations of funny money. Now, of course, in Argentina, they have other funny money denominations too, but nobody really wants to use them. In fact, about 70% of all bills circulating are the largest denomination, 100 pesos. And as far as Argentine coins, yeah, they got 1, 5, 10, 25, and 50 centavos, that's cents, but almost no one even bothers to pick them up when they hit the ground. I mean, really, why should they when 1 cent, 1 centavo, is worth less than 1/10 of 1 U.S. cent? Which is why most non-government economists are saying that Argentina is once again on the edge of financial collapse. Nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. Not yet, anyway.
South of the border, down Mexico.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture. He knows.